interesting and edifying. And, you know, Timothy had called and asked, you know, would you do a exhortation, a 15-minute exhortation? So if you heard rush, I'm going to use my Zoomophone 6000 to help time to tell him. If you would open to Colossians chapter 3. We're going to read verses 1 and 2. Colossians 3, chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. So simply stated, set your mind on things above. Why? Because that's where Christ is, and not on the earth. And that term, set your mind, is a verb, it's an action. It talks about thinking, to direct one's mind to a thing, to seek, to strive for, to understand. Simply stated, put your mind on Christ. Think about things that are above. It's easy to state, but unfortunately, it can be difficult to execute. At least for me sometimes. You know, why is this so difficult? You know, I made reference to Russ's teaching a couple weeks ago. I don't know if you had a chance to download it and hear it. But he really talked about the world, the cosmos, the order, the structure, everything that surrounds us, and how it's intricately designed to distract us from having our mind set on things above, from things on Christ. There is a constant fight against us focusing on Christ and focusing on those things where He is and above. You know, and Doug mentioned there's enemies all around us. You know, and it's a lot of times it's you can identify, you know, an enemy, Jehovah's Witness. But a lot of times it's more subtle than that. People, circumstances, the world, our thoughts, our jobs, our families, certain things that can happen, our kids, friends. So knowing that we are told to focus on Christ, to focus on those things above where He is, and knowing that the whole situation that we have to live in, that we have to navigate our daily routine is against that, how do we manage that? How do we balance that? How do we practically live this thing out in every day? And ultimately, and Doug mentioned, with agape, it's a decision. It happens in our minds. We're told, set your mind, set your thinking, set your decisions. What I choose to allow my mind to focus on, what I choose to be occupied with, what will I focus on? And those decisions that result in thoughts, that result in actions and behaviors. And so, with that being said, just let me kind of share some personal examples from my life and hopefully be encouraged in that. And, you know, a lot of you know the situation with my wife. You know, she's pregnant actually a couple weeks ago. And, but it started off, this is our fourth child, and, you know, most of her pregnancies went pretty well except for, you know, the inevitable can't sleep and uncomfortable and all that. But it really started off had a lot of complications, you know, with bleeding and the possibility to lose the baby and, you know, all those things, which, just to update you, by the way, because I shared this with some people, it seems like those initial major medical issues that we were having with her have kind of subsided, thank God, you know, and really see it as a result of prayer and, you know, the Lord really working. And, you know, unfortunately now it's just the regular stuff, you know, she can't sleep and she just wants to be done, which I can't blame her. But when this initially happened, you know, and she woke up, you know, at 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock in the morning, wherever that was, and the bleeding and all this, and, you know, immediately there's fear, there's anxiety, there's worry, there's doubt, there's concern, there's distress, there's uncertainty. And anyone in the world would agree that in a situation like this, it's natural. Look what you're going through. Look what happened. You know, we're overwhelmed. It's hard. Anybody would say it's okay to feel those things. That's normal. But that's things on the earth. But what does God say? Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. Nothing. Not one thing. Anything. But God, seriously, practical God, look at my situation. Look what I'm dealing with. I mean, that's natural, you know? And think about different situations. Seriously, God, I mean, we're dealing with this. I mean, no, that's something on the earth. I'm telling you, be anxious for nothing. That's God telling me that. Who am I to answer that? But to play that out, and even in was it Easter last week? Was that okay? That's the days kind of blend together, you know. And it was in Timothy's teaching. He talked about Easter, and he was looking at Matthew, where the women went to the tomb, and they saw the angel. You know, and his face was like lightning, and his clothes were blazing white. And, you know, I'm trying to think how it would feel to be in that situation. And, you know, they're scared to death. The guards can't even move. They're so scared. They're so afraid. They're scared stiff. But the angel says, do not be afraid. What? Look what's going on here. Look at, do not be afraid. And then they left. They went away, and it's interesting, they said they left with fear and great joy. So initially, they were scared to death. The angel told them, don't fear. So as they're leaving, but they were still fearing. But they also had some great joy with it. Then they actually ran into the risen Lord Jesus Christ. And what does He tell them? Do not be afraid. And you look at those two emotions, fear and joy. You know, they kind of seem opposite. You know, and Timothy talked about flipping that emotional switch, turning things on and off. And, you know, honestly, I'm sitting there thinking, boy, some of the situations that we find ourselves in that are emotionally overpowering, and, you know, I'm thinking, is that even possible? And then it hit me, well, yeah, with men it's impossible, absolutely. But with God, all things are possible. And it's a question of directing your thinking. And why were the women told not to be afraid? Gave them a reason. Don't be afraid. Why? Christ is risen. Him who you seek isn't here. So, in my thinking, I'm afraid. But directing our thinking towards Christ, toward those things that are above where Christ is, enables me to function in that, to not have that fear. And in order to flip that switch means a conscious choice to focus on Christ, to focus on things above. But, you know, as I was reading that, I said, okay, well, they saw Christ. They ran into Him. You know, and you tell me this, but, you know, these things that I'm dealing with, these things that I'm struggling with, these issues with my wife, and, you know, now I find out I'm in public education, and with the budget cuts, I don't know if you follow that, you know, I might not have a job next year. And it's like, God, I have real issues. I have real struggles. you know, that are going on. Well, if we go back to Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing. Don't be anxious for anything, but in everything, every situation, by prayer and supplication, which is my need, what I'm seeking, what I'm asking, with thanksgiving, being thankful for what I have, what Christ has done. Let your requests be made known to God. He already knows what's going on. And what happens? So I get what I want, right? Boom. No. The peace of God, that tranquility, that contentness, which is opposite of fear, anxiety, worry, which surpasses all understanding, arises above it, that perceiving, understanding, that joy. People look at that. How can you be emotionally calm and at peace in this situation with all these things going on? Well, the peace of God is guarding, protecting my heart, my emotions, all those things, and my mind, my thinking, my mental processes, my thoughts. Most importantly, though, through Jesus Christ, through the Son of God, through our risen Lord. So how did that whole process start? How did I get from circumstances, situations constantly against me, and I'm anxious, and I have all these things going on? It was that choice. It was that decision. It was that cognitive process to focus on Christ, to focus on those things above. And the ramifications of this, everything that we face in life, if we choose to focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. So if we're anxious, we're worried, we're afraid of something, what does Christ say? Do not fear. Do not be afraid. Do not doubt. Do not worry. Do not be terrified in those situations. But what about other situations that we encounter? Continuing with my example, well, now my wife has all these medical issues, and the doctor says, you have to be on bed rest. You can't do anything. All right, so what does that mean for me? That means you get to do the laundry, and you get to clean, and you get to cook, and you get to get the kids ready, and you have to do this, and you have to do this, and, oh, God, I'm overwhelmed. You know, this is going on, and I'm sharing. Or it's at work, and my boss is doing this, and this guy said this to me, and, well, it's natural to complain. I understand that in your situation. Yeah, complain. It's good. Vent it. God says, do all things without complaining. What? Are you serious? Obviously told me that. I should be able to do it. And Doug talked about that. We have Christ. We have the Holy Spirit to enable us to do those things. Or, you know, it's been a long day. I just want to relax. I'm tired. I've worked. I've been with the kids. I've done this. You know, I just want to sit down. I just want to relax. I just need some time for me. You know, world, hey, that's a good thing. You know, you got to take care of yourself. You got to look out for number one. You know, that's the way it is, right? That's what the world says. It's okay to be selfish. They may not come out and say it in those terms, but it's implied. But what are we told? Look out not only for your interests, but for the interests of others. To lay down your life for others. Why? Who was our example? Who did that perfectly for us? The Lord Jesus Christ. So you're looking at situations where you're anxious, you're worried, you're tired, you're complaining. But what about those situations that can be so emotionally powerful, that can catch us off guard, that we're not ready for, things are going on, and boom, something happens, something said, and I react to that, I have a thought that leads to something else, and before I know it, I'm caught up in a situation, I'm caught up in the one that comes to me, that usually you think of when a situation has the potential to get out of control is something like anger. And somebody says something to us, somebody does something, whether they really did, or maybe I perceived it that way. You know, it could be at work, could be at home, could be anywhere. Something happens and I'm angry, I get angry. It could be with my wife, with my husband, my kids, my mother and my father, my friends. That thing that's said that sparks that thought process, that triggers that emotion of anger, that when we're not ready for us, it can consume us and engulf us, and before we know it, we weren't ready for it, but we lash out in anger, we hold on to it, we do these different things. And again, you know, the world would say, focus on things on the earth. Hey, you know, that's, I understand, yeah. I'd be angry in that situation too. I can't believe he did that or she did that or they said that. You're right to be angry. You're justified to be angry. But what does God tell us? Colossians 3:8. Put off anger, malice, wrath. Tie in another verse. I mean, the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. But instead of that, because this happened, God, this is the way I want to go, of course. But what is his remedy? Put on Christ. Again, put on that choice, that decision, that mental process of choosing to put on Christ and to consider him, especially if anybody had a right to get angry while he was on this earth, I would say it would be the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, when you just consider the fact that the Creator came to earth, that God came down to us, the people who he made, and you look at how he was treated, how he was, and you think about this, you know, a lot of times I'll read and you kind of brush over, but to really focus on, that people spit on him, that they humiliated him, that they intentionally wanted to trick him and to make him look foolish and to do these things to where, you know, I don't want to walk into a situation where I know I'm going to be humiliated, where I'm going to look like a fool, where I'm going to be made fun of. That stuff gets me angry. I don't want to do that. He did that for us. But he opened not his mouth. Right? He didn't fight back. As he was beaten, as they were pulling out his beard, as the actual nails were being driven through his hands, his attitude is forgive. Father, they don't know what they're doing. They don't know who I am, what this is. I wasn't treated with the respect that I deserve from my coworker, from my wife, from my kids. I should be treated with, you know, that's what it says. Well, how do my actions compare with how I'm treating Christ? Am I disrespecting him in what I say and what I think and what I do? Who am I to complain about that? But he humbled himself. Intensively consider him. Consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Hebrews 12:3. And you look at that hostility. Scourging, crucifixion, shame, slapped, looked down upon, thought less of, thought crazy, thought he was insane. Kind of puts it in perspective. The next time you're inconvenienced by something, I get inconvenienced. And this is a silly example, but I ask my kids, you know, can I get you something to eat? And my son says, yeah, sure, I get it and make it. I give it to him, sit down. My daughter, oh, I wanted to. Didn't I just ask you if you wanted something? And I got to get back up. And it's a silly example, but those times when I'm in a situation and my first thought is on me and on this earth, it's naturally not going to produce the result of agape devotion. Instead, my first thought should be, number one, of the Lord Jesus Christ, what would he do? But I should be last. I should lay down my life for my brethren, for my wife, for my children. But God, you don't understand. Sometimes my wife drives me insane. And I get angry. Put it off, Brandon. Lay it down. Put it off. And this is, someday we will have to give an account. Someday we're going to have to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ And he's going to say, why did you do that? Why did you say that to my daughter, to my son, who happened to be, you know, your wife, your husband, your kids on this earth? Why did you treat them that way? Why did you do that? What are we going to answer? Well, Lord, I mean, honestly, I was focused on things of the earth. I was focused on myself. I was focused on how I was wronged. I was being selfish. I didn't have my mind guarded. I didn't have my mind on you. And it's that sin that so easily ensnares us. The world that so easily can distract us from Christ, because we have to live here. We have certain obligations, we have certain pragmatics that we have to take care of. I got to pay my bills, I got to do these things. But, you know, as we seek to get closer to Christ, it just seems like those things compound. It's like, where does this come from? Honestly, like, that's that. There is an actual system in place to keep you from doing that, to keep me from doing that. We don't, anything to keep us, our minds down here, our minds on ourselves, as subtle as that may be. It's in considering Him and what He has done for us, what the God of the universe has done for us. And then moment by moment, situation by situation, applying that understanding to our thinking and our conscious decisions. And that's what enables us to not be afraid, to be anxious for nothing, to put off anger, malice, and wrath. So in closing, I want to exhort you with Colossians 3, 12 through 14. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must also do. But above all these things, put on love, put on agape, put on that devotion, which is the bond of perfection. Romans 13:14. You want to do all those things? But put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Put on, clothe yourself, sink your mind into the Lord Jesus Christ. Set your mind on those things that are above where He is. Grace and peace.